Hi and welcome to my podcast, Voiceover Matters. Of course, we're looking at the report that was released on the 21st of October. I've been going through it verbatim. We're now looking at the schedules to the proposed Amendment Act 2020. Of course, schedules themselves are just part of the Act and they spell out in more detail how this Act can be put into practice. So where we left off and moving on. Clause 48 of the bill proposes to insert a new article, 218A, County Allocation of Revenue Bill, into the Constitution to streamline the roles and functions of the bicameral legislature in enacting the County Allocation of Revenue Bills. The amendments provide that a County Allocation of Revenue Bill, which shall divide among the counties the revenue allocated to them on basis determined according to the resolution in force under Article 217, is to be introduced in the Senate and enacted by Parliament within a period of 30 days from the date of enactment of the Division of Revenue Act. The proposed amendment specifies timelines within which the bill shall be considered by each House and the veto power by the Senate. Clause 49 of the bill proposes to amend Article 220, Form, Consent and Timing of Budgets, to require the proposed budgets of national and county governments to contain an explanation of previous, current and proposed budgetary measures for the attainment of social and economic rights. Further, the amendments seek to impose a requirement, which will set out in legislation, for the making of structure and development plans by national government. Currently, such an obligation is only imposed on counties. The amendment seeks to increase accountability and value for the money while entrenching prudence and efficiency in the use of public resources. Clause 50 of the bill proposes to amend Article 221, Budget Estimates and Annual Appropriation Bill, to streamline the process of preparing the budget by providing the annual estimates to be prepared on the basis of the division of revenue. Clause 51 of the bill proposes to amend Article 223, Supplementary Appropriation, and seeks to limit the supplementary appropriation to an emergency or if monies in the contingencies fund is insufficient to meet that demand. Clause 52 of the bill proposes to amend Article 224, County Appropriation Bills, to free the preparation of county annual budgets from being based on the Division of Revenue Bill. This is in light of the fact that a county government can prepare its budget based on its own sources of revenue. Clause 53 of the bill proposes to amend Article 225, Financial Control, to empower the Cabinet Secretary responsible for finance to stop the transfer of funds to a state organ or other public entity or a county government where there are serious and persistent material breaches of the set out financial control measures, and to table the matter before the relevant House of Parliament for approval. Clause 54 of the bill proposes to amend Article 230, Salaries and Remuneration Commission, to restructure the membership of the Commission to make it lean and effective. Further, the bill proposes to add the Commission with an added mandate to set, review, rationalise and harmonise the remuneration of all state officers and public officers. Further, the Commission shall determine and harmonise the rates paid by national and county governments to professional consultants for services rendered. The bill proposes to amend Chapter 13 of the Constitution on Public Service to remove the national security organs from the ambit of the Public Service Commission. Clause 55 of the bill proposes to amend Article 234, Functions and Powers of the Public Service Commission, to remove the national security organs as one of the offices in the public service to which the Public Service Commission has no mandate. Clause 56 of the bill proposes to insert a new article, 237A, the Youth Commission, into the Constitution. The amendment proposes to establish and provide for the functions of the Youth Commission to, among others, promote the implementation of the rights of the youth under Article 55. The bill proposes to amend Chapter 14 of the Constitution on national security to merge the constituent units of the National Police Service and provide clarity on the unit of command in the service. Further, the National Police Service Commission is removed as a commission and replaced by the Kenya Police Council to oversee policy and command functions of the National Police Service in collaboration with the Inspector General of Police. The amendment also seeks to establish the Independent Policing Oversight Commission as an independent commission with a mandate to ensure accountability of the police service. Clause 57 of the bill proposes to amend Article 240, Establishment of the National Security Council, to include the Prime Minister as a member of the National Security Council. Clause 58 of the bill proposes to amend Article 243, Establishment of the National Police Service, to merge the Kenya Police Service and Administration Police Service and integrate them into the National Police Service. Clause 59 of the bill proposes to amend Article 245, Command of the National Police Service, to provide and offer clarity on centrality of command control by the Inspector General of the Police to the Police Service. Clause 60 of the bill proposes to repeal Article 246, National Police Service Commission, and replace with a new article establishing the Kenya Police Council that shall be responsible for overall policy coordination of the National Police Service. Clause 61 of the bill proposes to insert a new article, 246, Independent Policing Oversight Commission, into the Constitution to establish the Independent Policing Oversight Commission. The Commission shall be the successor to the Independent Policing Oversight Authority, which is established under an Act of Parliament. The Commission is expected to provide an effective mechanism of oversight on the conduct of the members of the police service in discharging their work and their relation to the citizens. The bill proposed to amend Chapter 15 of the Constitution on commissions and independent officers to require constitutional commissions to enhance corporate governance practices in managing the affairs of the commissions and independent officers to include the director of public prosecutions as an independent office. Clause 62 of the bill proposes to amend Article 248, Commissions and Independent Officers, to add the Independent Policing Oversight Commission as a constitutional commission to which Chapter 15 of the Constitution applies. The amendment also includes the director of public prosecutions as an independent office to enhance the independence and budgetary autonomy of the office. The bill proposes to amend Chapter 16 of the Constitution on general provisions. Clause 63 of the bill proposes to amend Article 259, construing of the Constitution, to provide for the filling of a vacancy of an appointive office under the Constitution and requires that the process of replacing the holder of that office shall commence at least 6 months before the lapse of the term of the office holder and conclude before the lapse of the term of that office holder. This is to ensure seamless transition and fewer disruptions in the running of the appointive constitutional state officers. Clause 64 of the bill proposes to amend Article 260, Interpretation, to include the offices of the Prime Minister, Deputy Prime Minister, and Judiciary Ombudsman in the definition of the term state office. The bill amends the third schedule of the Constitution on national oaths and affirmations. Clause 65 of the bill proposes to amend the third schedule to include the Prime Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister, as state officers who should take the oath or make a solemn affirmation as prescribed in the schedule. Similarly, the amendment seeks to include the Deputy Chief Justice as oaths of the Chief Justice, President of the Supreme Court, Judges of the Supreme Court, Judges of the Court of Appeal, and Judges of the High Court. Clause 66 of the bill proposes to amend the fourth schedule to provide that functions and powers on county health services, county transport, county planning and development, county public works and firefighting services and disaster management relating to the Nairobi capital city shall be distributed as functions of the national government. Clause 67 of the bill provides that Parliament shall enact any legislation required by this Act to be enacted to govern a particular matter within the period specified in the first schedule. It provides that the Attorney General and the Kenya Law Reform Commission shall prepare the relevant bills for tabling before Parliament as soon as is reasonably practicable to enable Parliament to enact legislation within the specified period in the first schedule commencing on the date this Act comes into force. Clause 68 of the bill provides for the transitional and consequential provisions to ensure the seamless implementation of the provisions of this Act especially in view of some constitutional commissions and state offices that have been reconstituted. The bill further provides for the vetting of the members of the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission. The first schedule lists the legislation proposed for Parliament to enact in order to ensure the full implementation of the proposed amendments to the Constitution. The second schedule outlines the transition and consequential provisions on various aspects, including saving terms of office of various institutions restructured in the bill. This is dated the 30th of June, 2020. Annex C, Administrative Measures. Introduction. The BBI Task Force posits that a majority of Kenyans across all 47 counties, as shown in the validation process, want things done differently for a better Kenya. This explains why, for example, a majority of Kenyans do not report crimes to the police, wish for a place to report non-performing public officers, would like leaders to serve them selflessly, create wealth, and give maximum social protection to the most economically vulnerable. What will it take for the proposed changes to be realized administratively? One, committed public officers. Public officers to whom Kenyans have delegated their sovereign power must serve Kenyans in accordance with the constitution, laws, policies, and administrative procedures and systems laid down. Administrative measures should be taken to ensure that public officers guard the public trust bestowed upon them by applying high standards of professional ethics, core values, and principles in service. To achieve this objective, government interventions should aim at facilitating each public officer to continuously learn and lead change in themselves and with fellow public officers. Two, government programs and interventions at family level. Three, institutional focus on administrative procedures, or processes rather, in line with the constitution and the law working conditions of public officers. The steering committee recognizes and appreciates that the majority of public officers have good intentions. However, they're critically influenced by the context within which they work and live. As a result, the steering committee proposes that the conditions at work should change drastically. This will enable public officers to sustainably change their behaviors. One, the physical environment and infrastructure. The state and ambience of offices, furniture, working space, safety at work, basic facilities such as bathrooms, kitchen, and lighting should be adequate, irrespective of a public officer's position. This will motivate them to serve Kenyans diligently. Two, respectful relationships at work. All public officers should be treated with dignity, whatever their station. Every person's role is important for the delivery of services to Kenyans. This is demonstrated by the delegated power conferred to them by the people of Kenya, Constitution, Article 1-3. Every office is significant in providing services to Kenyans. Three, tools to serve. Materials and equipment required by public officers, such as stationery, should be in good supply to facilitate effective service delivery. The officers should also be accountable in using these public resources prudently. Constitution Articles 10, 73 and 232 in public interest. These tools are those predetermined in law and administrative systems and structures to serve Kenyans responsively, impartially and objectively, equitably and fairly, transparently, promptly, efficiently, effectively, selflessly, etc., while being accountable and using public resources in an economic way to serve the public interest. Four, structures and systems. Effective performance systems and structures that are less bureaucratic and geared towards better service delivery should be developed. The system should clearly spell out roles, responsibilities, and the flow of authority. This should promote internal controls, checks, and balances. At the same time, effective coordination, collaboration, and communication between units and organs must be ensured. The systems should be open to allow for continuous staff development. Public officers should be at liberty to use some discretion in decision-making. This must be guided by transparent accountability and other values and principles. Disciplinary measures and processes should be clear. The structures should uphold codes of conduct and ethics strategies. A vibrant feedback channel will also be necessary. Part of the systems will be the laws, policies, processes, and administrative issues proposed by the BBI Steering Committee. more importantly, public officers will have to put their brilliant minds and abilities to work to address the technical changes and gaps. Implementation of the proposed changes will contribute to how the public service is managed and administered. More importantly, public officers will have to put their brilliant minds and abilities to work to address the technical changes and gaps. Implementation of proposed changes will contribute to how public service is managed and administered for better service delivery. Therefore, service delivery should continuously be improved. Simultaneously, the new behaviours need to be regularly motivated, rewarded, and institutionalised. Above all, the role of leadership as a driving force in the change process for sustainability is mandatory. The example leaders display is important for change to take root. If the leadership affects the changes required, it will increase the chances of the public officers and citizens embracing the change. Moreover, it is the leadership that directs critical functions, such as the assessment and auditing of all state assets. The details of how the changes may be introduced, implemented, nurtured, and managed shall be spelt out by public officers and facilitated by the change agent. Once the change is rolled out and we, citizens and public officers, are living in the new situation, then and only then can the specific technical administrative interventions proposed here be implemented in a durable way. Definition of administrative action. Administrative action is any decision, official pronouncement, and procedure or notice of intent to issue or adopt any decision, official pronouncement, or procedure in public service. What impedes the implementation of administrative action? The following are some of the factors that impede implementation of administrative action. Negative attitude, lethargy, poor behavior within the public service, systems that are created to fail, inadequate funding, lack of timely release of funding, lack of political goodwill, duplication or overlapping of functions, too much bureaucracy, inconsistent flow of authority and discipline, nepotism, parallel chain of loyalty where junior enjoys patronage from his or her boss, lack of information by the public, lack of skills mapping and matching in the public service, low uptake of ICT to reduce human interaction and service delivery in the public service, lack of ethical standards, lack of accountability, lack of responsible citizenship, and the lack of nationhood. People are not driven by public interest. Philosophy. Developing an implementation and results-focused public service that is ever mindful of its constitutional and legal imperatives. Principle and guidelines. The following are the principles and guidelines identified with respect to administrative issues. High standards of professional ethics. Efficient, effective, and economic use of resources. Responsive, prompt, effective, impartial, and equitable provision of services. Transparency and provision to the public of timely, accurate information. Accountability for administrative acts. And fair competition and merit as the basis of appointments and promotions. Instruments for implementation. The following are the instruments identified for implementation of administrative actions recommended by the BBI report. Service charter for the entire public service. Customer service charter to be developed by State Corporations Advisory Committee. Standard operating procedure manual for the entire public service. Compliance checklists and or a matrix extracted from the manual for the entire public service. Checklist for governance, human resources, finance, etc. A sample checklist for the responsibilities of accounting officers in the national government is attached to this report on administrative interventions. Quarterly performance monitoring and evaluation matrix for the entire public service. Systems audit, management audit manual from the Office of the Inspector General of State Corporations. A circular by the head of public service seeking a record of all systems in the state corporations for assessment and decision-making purposes. Training curriculum for public officers upon entry into the service and for those currently in the service regarding the manual, develop and implement public service guidelines on training. Automation of government functions in the public service, including automation and consolidation of human resources data in public service. Enact the draft performance management regulations 2020 for the Public Service Commission's use. Management by state corporations, i.e. head of public service, through a circular dated 11th March 2020, already implementing BBI recommendations on wastage of public resources, touching on frequency of meetings, payments of allowances, mileage claims, and system audit by March 2020. Administrative mechanisms. One, the most crucial national task is to think big and long term. All-inclusive national conversation of Kenyans of various ages, classes, ethnicities, beliefs, and philosophies with the single aim of producing a vision of a unique Kenyan civilization 100 years from today.